friends. Whew, there's a lot going on in this passage. We're gonna do a little bit of pick and choose, and you'll get even more if you come back tomorrow for the sequel with Jack. But we're gonna start at the beginning of the passage, and just a little tiny bit of context. There's a lot of allusions in here, a lot of history. I'm gonna give you just a little bit of context. So Jeremiah, often known as the weeping prophet, and many of Jeremiah's prophecies are about you all suck and bad things are going to happen. And a lot of bad things did happen. Jeremiah lived through the exile, through the destruction of the temple, and through the Babylonian, I think, occupation. So a lot of bad things did happen. And then there are moments in Jeremiah, like the scripture we have tonight, that is not about that. We're going to start at the very beginning. Rachel is weeping for her children. This is referring to a time of a massacre of children. And what I'm going to do during the sermon is we're going to connect to a song. I'm going to share my screen. And the song, some of you may know it, is called By Way of Sorrow. Cry, Cry, Cry is the artist group. So I'm going to play just a bit of the song, about 1 minute. And then we're going to come back into the text. So right now, we're at Rachel is weeping for her children. She refuses to be comforted for her children because they are no more. I'll share my screen.
Andy, the sound isn't playing through.
Thank you for letting me know. We're going to try that again. Because I couldn't see you, so that's perfect. We'll try it again.
There's a little button.
Thank you. You've been taken by the wind. Have known the kiss of sorrow, doors that would not take you in, outcast and a stranger. You have come my way of sorrow, you have come my way of tears, but you'll reach your destiny, meant to find you all these years, meant to find you all these years.
We're going to come back to the song, so don't worry, we're coming back. So I was like, okay. You've come by way of sorrow, and there's a different destiny. There's a different end of the story. And then I got to the verse that gave me the most trouble in this passage. And what I've learned from St. Lydia's is that when you find a verse that gives you trouble, you have to wrestle with it until it gives you a blessing. So that's what we're gonna spend some time doing. And the verse that gave me trouble was this one. Thus says the Lord, keep your voice from weeping and your eyes from tears. And when I read that, it was tough for me because sometimes there are times to weep. And I struggled with God saying that. So we're going to wrestle with that. But I want you to hear just one more minute of the song. And as I play this last minute of the song for you, what I'm going to ask you to do, something a little different than we normally do. I'm going to ask you to chat. But I want you to chat in a feeling you're having or a sensation that you're noticing, not the words of the song, but a feeling you are having or a sensation you are noticing as you hear the next minute of the song.
You have drunk a bitter wine with none to be your comfort. You who once were left behind. behind. We'll be welcome at love's table. You have come my way, Arthur. You have come my way, Arthur. But you reach your destiny.
Thanks for sharing those. Belonging, yearning, nostalgia, hope, longing, relief. What I'm going to offer from there is, I'm cheating because I'm going to give you some of the words. You are welcome at love's table. You are welcome at love's table. You are welcome at God's table. We are welcome at love's table. I am welcome at love's table. Yeah. And my heart just gets bigger when I hear that. And I'm offering that right now. And I wanted you to connect with a feeling because we're going to actually go to a place of some pain. And so I just want you to have this feeling with you as we grapple with a little pain. One other thing I want to offer, sometimes, especially when I'm struggling and I hear sermons about pain, it's tough for me. Hashtag depression. And then I'm like, crap, I'm not even doing my pain right. And so like, I just want to, like, as we do a little bit of struggle with pain in this sermon, take what works for you and leave the rest. Consider this an offer, not a direction. And it's my offer to your aliveness, to your wholeness, to your enoughness. Yeah, it's an offer to everything alive within you. And wherever you are is enough.
Nola,
we just heard Nola's correction on Hannah's voice of the people.
Sorry.
No problem. My gosh. Wherever Nola is enough. So what if there is time for weeping, but we are not supposed to stay there? What if there is time for weeping, and that is not the destination, and that is not the end of the story? And even as I say that, I struggle. And so I'm going to tell you a little bit about two of my identities. My identity as a white person, my identity as a daughter. So this whole sermon tonight is about right relationship with future generations. And I think how we deal with pain is passed down from generation to generation. In the case of my whiteness, passed down through centuries. And then, of course, closer in my own family, how to deal with pain. So I'm going to tell you first a bit of family. Then I'm going to talk about my identity as a white person. And then I'm going to come back and share a little bit about my family. So my mom is someone who faced a lot of pain in her life. She grew up in a chaotic household, abusive household, violent, unpredictable. And my mom had the role of a good girl in that family constellation. The one who did things right and kept the peace. And she taught me how to be a good girl. It was passed down through her muscle and bone and breath. Through the actions she chose and the words she selected, she taught me that's the way to stay safe, is to be good, And the problem with some of the ways we stayed safe when we were young is they don't always allow us to be fully alive. And I think that's part of what the struggle is. Weep when it is time for weeping, but don't stay there. But don't stay there. That's not the destination. So we'll come back to my mom. Let's talk about my identity as a white person. Last week, speaking of future generations, I saw the story many of us did. 545 children separated at the border, and they cannot find their parents. They've taken the children away from their parents, and they cannot find their parents. And when I read stories like that, and I do it on a regular basis in this era, in this time that we are living in, my first impulse is to look away. My first impulse is to read and keep scrolling. And that's a different way to deal with pain. It's a different strategy. Look away, distract, move away from. I think my white ancestors and myself, when terrible acts are being perpetrated against other people, the pain of that is too big to face. And so people choose to cope by not even experiencing it, by looking away, by distracting. Whew, that's terrible. Let's keep going. By not opening the story. By moving against. What were they doing here in the first place? They weren't following the rules. By moving toward or appeasing. But that's not me. I'm not one of those white people. And all of these reactions or a way to try to skip the pain that this has happened. What if the invitation is actually not to skip the pain, but also not to stay in it? What if we should weep when it is time for weeping, and move through the feeling. Move through the feeling to action, to accountability, to justice. I don't think we can get there if we skip the feeling. So we are not supposed to skip the pain. But neither are we to stay stuck there. But neither are we to stay stuck there. How is this possible? It's interesting. In this particular passage, this is not Jeremiah's usual, you all suck, that's why bad things are happening. Instead, there are some very clear directions in this passage. Keep your voice from weeping and your eyes from tears. Set up road markers for yourself. Make yourself signposts. Consider well the highway, the road by which you went. Those are God's directions to us in this passage. And what's curious about that to me, actually the I suck response is another way of avoiding pain by getting stuck in it. But that's not what we're asked in this passage. And this, I think, is our duty to future generations. I'm gonna come back to my mom. So I told you my mom had a tough life, but for most of my upbringing, she was still doing what worked for her when she was a child and playing the good girl role really well, really, really well. And about 5 years before she died, through a series of events, she said no more. No more. I need to face the pain that I experienced. And it was not easy. My mom did not have the resources or support she deserved. And I know God did not wish that pain for her. It was awful. And anything I have of wholeness, of enoughness, is because of the signposts my mom left on that journey. Set up road markers, make yourself signposts, consider well the highway. I remember one time my mom was sitting at the kitchen counter writing in her journal where she poured a lot of her pain. And I was at the stove, like kind of diagonal from her, making Lipton noodles. You know, the chicken noodles you buy at the store and you put the butter and water in and you make them. I was making them for a snack. And my mom probably just finished crying or screaming. And she said, you know, I'm doing this for you kids. I'm doing this for you kids. And she met my brother and sister and I. And I was stirring the noodles and not engaging. And we did not have the easiest relationship at that moment. And I said, thank you. And later that day, I walked by her journal, which I usually did not read because privacy, but also because there's a lot of pain inside. But I walked by her journal and I opened it up. And inside her journal, it said, Andy said, thank you. And I think that to be in right relationship with future generations involves us learning how to be in pain from a sense of enoughness, from a sense of wholeness, from a sense that pain is not the end of the story and that pain is real. And that pain is real. We can't get to the other side except through. We can't skip it. This is not bypassing to some happy ending. It's going through it and leaving signposts along the way so the other people have a route to follow. We're ending our season of challenge. And in this particular season, the quote we had from Jay Medina said, to be in right relationship, first, of course, you must be in right relationship with yourself. I think our work for future generations is to be in right relationship with our own stories, our family stories, our race stories, our citizenship stories, our language stories, to be in right relationship with all of the pain and the joy that is part of those stories. I just want to close with some appreciation for my mom. I'm trying to think. She died almost 25 years ago. Almost close as our anniversary, close as our anniversary to that. And I would not, and God, I don't believe, would wish the pain that she experienced. I don't want to glorify pain. But there is pain in this world. And to face it and not stay there, I think is what God wants for us. We share the sermon at St. Lydia's. We'll have a few moments of silence.